Good morning. I'm Peter Solomon, and you're tuned to The Morning Show. Theo Bleckman is a vocalist that blows categories out of the water. He brings an adventurous sensibility to the music he performs, whether it's jazz standards, songs by Charles Ives, Kate Bush, George Gershwin, or the Bee Gees. In the fall, Bleckman released a new recording on Sunnyside Records called Love and Anger. I reached out to him, and he spoke with me via Zoom about the new recording. We also delved into his musical origin story, which, as you'll hear, has a lot to do with his association with legendary jazz vocalist Sheila Jordan. I first came into contact with Bleckman through his participation in a 2019 project by drummer Ulysses Owens called Songs of Freedom. Owens serves as both drummer and producer on the new recording, and you'll hear Bleckman referencing him in our conversation. Before we get to that interview, let's hear one of the tracks off the new album. This is called Crying, Laughing, Loving, Lying. It's a setting by Bleckman of a poem by the British artist Labi Siffre.
Crying. Crying never did nobody no good, no how. That's why
That's Theo Bleckman's setting of Labi Siffre's poetry from the album Love and Anger. Here's my conversation with Theo Bleckman. I started by asking him to talk about his musical origin story. He grew up in Germany, and I asked him to talk specifically about how he was exposed to jazz.
When I was 16, a friend of mine in high school played the clarinet, and we went on a school trip, and he played Take Five on the clarinet, just the melody. I was hooked. I was like, what is that? That's so cool. It's a little dorky kind of to think that that got me hooked to jazz, but that was it. And this friend introduced me to mostly saxophone players and you know, instrumentalists, Miles Davis, and sort of the avant-garde of jazz in many ways. He listened to Odeon Pope for some reason a lot. So he got introduced to a lot of weird stuff and great stuff. And yeah, I was hooked immediately. Take Five, thank you.
Can you talk a little bit about where you're from originally?
Yes, I was born in Dortmund, West Germany. And I grew up in a little cow town, you know, nothing town. I was always a singer. I was a boy soprano in a choir in our town. And I loved singing. Singing was always joyful and always something that was communal and fun. And then I got into my voice break. I didn't sing for a while. And then when my voice came back around 16, 17, I started to sing again, and it was with this friend, my friend Joachim, who introduced me to jazz, and we started having a little jazz trio. So in 1988, I saw an ad for Sheila Jordan, the great late Sheila Jordan, coming to Graz, Austria to do a workshop, and people were able to audition for it. And I didn't know if I even had anything to say in this music, and I went down there. And I auditioned for her class. I got into her class. And for 3 months, six singers were mentored by Sheila. And Sheila and I became very, very close.
Yes, you told me that you loved me. I didn't believe it, you wonderful thing. Oh, yes, you broke up a start. And also my heart, so let's mend it and be sweet again. You know I love you. So won't you come and be my sweet old Henry?
And we sort of continued the friendship, and she invited me to come over to New York to check out America, which was my dream anyway. I had already gotten a scholarship from a Berklee School of Music at that time. I wanted to get out of Germany and study jazz in America at that point anyway. But as soon as I came to New York and I stayed in Sheila's apartment, I was like, this is where I want to be. I don't want to go to Boston. So I stayed in New York. Sheila helped me get a scholarship at Manhattan School of Music, where I am now, have been teaching for almost 20 years. It's kind of amazing.
Can you talk a little bit about what impressed you about Sheila Jordan and, you know, in a general sense, what you picked up from being around her and working with her?
When I first heard Sheila, I everything fell away. It was the prophet I had been waiting for, because in her singing there's a sense of risk and play and joy and pain that I hadn't really seen in this kind of way. And it was a very deep experience, but she also has a very wicked sense of humor in life and on stage. Her pitch, her sound, everything was so right on. It was just precision and freedom at the same time. And it was just beautiful. I was stunned. We all were. The class, I remember one of my classmates, we went to the first concert that she gave, and we were reeling. Seriously, it was something I'd never experienced like that. And I had seen Betty Carter, and I'd seen Carmen McRae and live and all that, and I loved them. But this was, I don't know, there was something about Sheila's immediacy and her sort of gentle tone that really appealed to me. And of course, you know, she was right there.
Here comes the sunshine, here comes that sun of mine, here comes.
I'm Peter Solomon. This is The Morning Show on 88.5 Minnesota's Jazz Station. I'm speaking with Theo Bleckman about his new project on Sunnyside Records called Love and Anger. I want to turn next to your album Love and Anger. Can you talk about the impetus for making this recording?
Yeah. So I had been, as you mentioned, that we met during a tour that I did with Ulysses Owen's project, Songs of Freedom. Ulysses and I became good friends during that time. And one night we had dinner and he said, "Oh, I was always dreaming of producing a record of yours." I'm like, "What? I had the same dream, except I was singing in that dream and you were producing." So we did it, and we came together, we selected the songs. It was again, like, very effortless and easy to work with Ulysses. He has a vision, he makes decisions very definitively, which is helpful. And he produced it so that it would be a different record from the ones that I've already done. Otherwise, why work with a producer if I'm just doing the same thing?
From my experience of Ulysses Owens, from his recording that you referenced, is a kind of openness to the repertoire. And you have some widely varied streams feeding into this recording. To begin with, there are two Kate Bush songs. There's the title cut, Love and Anger, and then the song Birdie. And I wanted to ask you to talk about what attracts you to those songs and what you, how you approach them.
It lay buried here. It lay deep inside me. It's so deep I don't think that I can speak about it.
Well, Love and Anger was selected by Ulysses. I had already recorded that song in a different, with different instrumentation, on my album Hello Earth, the music of Kate Bush, where I took her music and rearranged it for a jazz band. But Ulysses said, "We have to play that song." So I'm like, "Okay, let's play that song." And Birdie was also came out of that project, but was never recorded. And I've always wanted to record it. And the fact that those are the first two songs is really more musical choice. We wanted to open with something joyous and something driving. And those songs really have that quality. So that's why they're in the beginning. And Kate Bush is a very important figure to me. And much like Sheila Jordan, is an artist who has a set of her own rules and her own world, has created her own world and her own set of a career that's unlike anybody else's. I mean, Kate Bush didn't record for, I think, 12 years or something like that. She's not somebody that puts out a record because the record company says you should put out a record or you need another hit. And Sheila is very similar. I really appreciate artists that do what they do without anybody having any influence or being swayed by trends or anything like that.
Hand me a towel, I'm dirty dancing by myself, gun of tabs. All that acid foam me a circle, watch my jagger. Might lose my jacket, and it is solo.
This Frank Ocean song, Solo, is really arresting, and I went back and listened to his original version. So I wanted to ask you, like, what really strikes you about that song and maybe how you approached it differently?
And it was, again, one of those moments that you have in a really deep friendship where you say the same thing at the same time. Ulysses said, you know, Theo, you know, I know we did this Frank Ocean song, April, for your former student, April Varner. And I did background voices and second voices for her on that song. He said, why don't we do another Frank Ocean song? I was thinking of Solo. And I'm like, that's my favorite song of his. Oh my God, I listened to that on a loop for a year. We agreed on that. And then I had to come up with something that was warranting for me to do it.
We too loud in public, then police turn down the function. Now we outside and the timing's perfect. Forgot to tell you how much I vibe with you. And we don't gotta be so alone. Now stay away from highways, miles like them red lights. Right now I prefer yellow.
That version is so incredible. I mean, his music is incredible to me to begin with. But the way he sings on that track is incredible. So I was like, what can I contribute to this? Of course, I got my dirty arrangement fingers in there and put in a key change and, you know, a few reharms in there and stretched out a section here and there. So that's really what I thought I can contribute to this. It's daunting when you're dealing with something that is so complete and so perfect in and of itself. Like, how much do I insert myself? How much should I leave alone? And if I leave it alone, why am I doing it? Why would people listen to me over that? So those are all the decisions that were made together. And it was great to have Ulysses there to say, no, this is valid. Do this.
The very first song I heard off your album when I saw that you did You've Got to Hide Your Love Away, I love the Beatles recording that song, and there's so much pain and kind of repression in it to me. Talk about that song and again, like, how you decided to approach it, if you don't mind.
Here I stand, hat in hand, turn my face to the wall. If she's gone, I can't go on, feeling 2 feet tall.
Everywhere I wanted a radical arrangement of that song. I wanted it to be like those voices that you have, hey, this sort of echo chamber that memory or that bullying can be, really, or other people saying something about you or telling you what to do. It can be an echo chamber that goes around and around and around and around.
The next song is Stars, and so this is a Janis Ian song, and I went and looked up the Nina Simone version, which is just hard-hitting. Talk about that song and what that song is about, and again, how you decided to make it your own.
Stars, they come and go, they come fast, they come slow, they go like the last light of the sun all in a blaze. All you see is glory, but it gets lonely.
So that song, it's good that you mentioned Nina Simone, because I knew about the song through Nina Simone first, and then I listened to the Janis Ian song, the version. That song is about chasing stardom and chasing recognition, and it is very much related to social media, I think. Today, you know, people wanting likes, wanting the reflection back from other people of love that they don't have for themselves. I've always loved that song, but it's Nina Simone's sort of one of her signature songs. I think it's an epic tale of chasing fame.
You make me feel. one of the most interesting selections, I feel like, is this song Mighty Real. And I'm less familiar with Sylvester, so I'm sure there might be someone else in the audience that may not have been around in the 70s that doesn't know who this artist is. Talk about the song Mighty Real and what it means to you, and also about the artist behind that song and how you chose to approach it.
When we got home, darling, and it's nice and dark, and the music's in me, and I'm still real hot, and you kiss me back, and it feels real good, and I know you'll love me like you should. You make me feel.
Sylvester was a really, really incredible singer, first of all. There's a record of him singing standards, and it's really incredible. He was a disco, he had a huge hit with Mighty Real, and it was a disco hit. You make me feel mighty real. And it goes on and on and on. And it's a real, you know, full-on disco bonanza. I was interested in the idea of thinking of all this music and all the disco music that happened as the last hurrah or the last exuberance before the AIDS pandemic hit. And it was the last, you know, for many men, it was the last music that had a sense of freedom for them and a sense of liberation. And so there's a sadness to me that this music that was at the height of the dancing and of enjoying and sexual liberation and every liberation in every which way ended up being sort of like the last songs that were really, you know, in their lives. So I wanted to make a version that was a little bit more somber and had a little bit more of that, those spirits of those men that were all gone. And Sylvester himself, African-American, you know, artist, was one of the first, at least in the U.S., publicly non-binary people. He said, I have no gender. And he said so in the press and was very, very outspoken about it, which is interesting at a time when that was not at all, you know, a subject matter.
The next piece is drawn from Henry Purcell, Dido's Lament. So for the person who's less familiar with classical music, like myself, or much of the people in our audience, I'm sure, can you talk about where that song originates and how you adapted it?
When I am laid, in earth, may my wrongs create no trouble in thy breast.
It's from Dido and Aeneas, and it is Dido singing about what am I leaving when I die. Please, when I am laid, in earth, may my wrongs just be, create no harm in the world. That's really the intro to the next piece, Teardrop, which was written for Jeff Buckley's death. So Teardrop from Massive Attack.
Teardrops on the fire, fearless on my
Jeff Buckley was a very well-known singer-songwriter. He was probably most known for his version of Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah. I get into a thing with Ulysses at the end of Teardrop. You're stumbling in the dark. And it gets very rocked out. And you know, we are stumbling in the dark. Especially when it comes to death, we don't know when we're going to die. We don't know, you know, why sometimes.
And the album closes, and I know this has a sad story attached to it. It closes with Precious Lord, which I know was a song that Mahalia Jackson was famous for singing. Talk about what made you choose this song.
Precious Lord,
Precious Lord,
take my hand.
Let me stand.
I am tired.
I am weak.
Well, my sister-in-law, passed away year before last, and my husband asked for that song to be sung at her funeral. It was her favorite song as a Baptist hymn. I listened to Mahalia Jackson as a kid a lot. I had a record of hers. I don't know why, but and I loved, always loved her. But this, her version is, I had to stop listening to her version before this recording because it's just divine, literally divine. Yeah, so I just wanted to include that aspect of my singing and in my choices of music, because I think there is a relationship, even though I am an atheist at heart. I think there is a connection to my upbringing in the Catholic Church and as a choir boy and all this stuff that draws me to this kind of music. Yeah. And it's part of my improvisations or my looping or my, you know, if you hear the beginning of the Purcell, there is that choral sort of Gregorian chanty kind of thing in my music, and I love it. I love that kind of stuff.
Is there anything else you want to say about this recording?
I want to say that you can listen to this recording while doing other things. How about that? You can do the dishes, you can vacuum, you can, rearrange your bookshelf. It's a record that you just put on and go, oh, yeah, it's lovely. Which most of my records are not like that. I think it's an easy listening record.
I spoke with Theo Bleckman. His most recent recording on Sunnyside Records is called Love and Anger. You can learn more about him at his website, Theo Bleckman, spelled BLECKMANN.com. I'm Peter Solomon for Jazz 88.
Can you find it in your heart to let go of these feelings like a bell to a southerly wind?